What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. It's Louis DiBiase joining you on this Saturday edition of the show alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. We are just one day away from the Eagles heading to Soldier Field to take on the Chicago Bears in the 2018 NFL Wild Card round. The Birds are in it at 9-7. They got the win against Washington. They got the loss against Minnesota for Chicago to take them down and get the Birds in. Louis DiBiase again joining you. We are one day away. Little preview show here with my co-host Gino Camilleri. What's up, man? You ready for this game?
Dude, I'm stoked. I think this is the matchup everybody wanted. I think Chicago really screwed up not letting Minnesota in this game. Because I know you love Kirk Cousins and the rest of that Minnesota team. They stink. They would have definitely beat them. They probably could have played Chase Daniel and beat them in this playoff game. But this Philadelphia Eagles team is hot as anybody. I don't want to get too overconfident in them, but I have a very good feeling about this game. Much better than I felt about that Atlanta game last postseason. So I'm ready for 440 come tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm getting those pregame feels already. Like, I remember last year, there was just excitement. Like, so when Wentz went down, it was kind of, ah, man, the season's over. Like, yeah, they're going to be in the playoffs, but it's they're just not. I mean, we saw what Foles was in the regular season. You just did not really have a whole lot of expectation. But then the game came, and it was like this was the first playoff game we had in 4 years. And it was just playoff football. It's so much fun to have your team in it. And it's the same way this year was really. You heard us on the podcast for a month and a half just saying, just get this team in and give them a shot because – who knows what they can do once they make it. We saw what they did last year, and of course they had home field advantage, but this isn't your father's sixth seed. This isn't a team that just stumbled into the playoffs and really has no chance of beating anybody, right? I mean, you look at even, I wrote a story on LockdownEagles.com this week comparing this wild card team to the past wild card teams of 2009, 2010, and 2013 that really couldn't get past the wild card round. Remember that loss to Dallas, the loss to Green Bay, and then the loss to the Saints. This Eagles team may be a lower seed than you look at 2009, they were 11-5. 2010, they won the NFC East, and the same with 2013. So this team may be a sixth seed at 9-7. But again, this is a team that had Super Bowl aspirations heading into the regular season. This is not a typical 9-7 team. This is an Eagles team that was supposed to dominate the NFL, be one of the best teams in the league. And yes, they're going into Chicago playing a pretty good Bears team. But I give this team a better shot than almost anybody, really. I mean, you look at it, I think the Eagles are a scarier team than Seattle, than Dallas. Honestly, maybe even more than Chicago. And, Gino, let's get into it because the Eagles are six. What was the line? 6.5?
Yep, sitting at 6.5 right now. We'll see where the money comes in tomorrow. I'm sure it'll shift down a little bit. It's been sitting there all week, though.
They're the biggest underdog of any of these games. And they're all really close, so, I mean... Mm-hmm. For the most part, none of them are going to be blowouts. We got tonight Deshaun Watson against Andrew Luck and Frank Wright. Go Colts, Team Frank Wright right here against the Houston Texans. And then you got Cowboys, Seahawks tonight. So those are two really close games. And then tomorrow before the Eagles-Bears game, you got Ravens-Chargers. That's also a pretty close game. The Ravens went on the road in L.A., although it's not really a typical road game in that soccer stadium. But anyway, I mean, it's still on the road against a damn good team in the Chargers, and they actually beat them. And this time it's going to be in Baltimore. So I get that the other games are going to be just as close as the Eagles-Bears game. But I think that there's no way, and you wouldn't think of it when the Bears fans are coming after you on Twitter, but I do not think the Eagles should be significant underdogs this week.
They're just never going to learn, are they? You can't make this team an underdog.
I just got my underdog shirt in the mail, Gino. So did you.
Yeah, we both did. We ordered it the same day, funny enough. But yeah, nobody's going to learn. And like you mentioned, those 2010, 11, 13, this team most closely resembles that 08 team that barely squeaked in on that last week. McNabb was still towards the tip of his prime, just coming down before those 2010 and 2011 years where he was near the end of his career, you know. But that team had it all. The defense was flying around. They had all those weapons and Deshaun Jackson, Macklin, McCourt. The list goes on and on what they had there. But this team is just they're doing everything right now. We talked about it in the past pods that they've righted all those wrongs. The defense is creating turnovers. The offense is starting to move the ball pretty well. They even got the run game going a little bit, which is surprising. I don't think it'll be a factor in this game, but it's encouraging to see. And last but not least, that front four. Whew, man, this front four is still – them in Chicago in the playoffs right now have the two best fronts. I don't think it's any comparison, really. Yeah. I mean, all the way down the board, they have – they're six deep all the way around. Look at other teams. You look at the Rams, like outside of Donald and Sue, they don't have much depth there. You go to Seattle, you can't really name many guys on the front line there anymore. Dallas, DeMarcus Lawrence, of course, but not much depth outside of that. So if defense wins championships, the Eagles, they're sitting pretty right now, especially in these late cold games when you're going to have to start to run the ball late in games to work down the clock. I think the Eagles have the upper hand in that regard. And if Fletcher Cox plays like the all-pro that we know he is and that he was voted to be, it could be a very rough day for any quarterback that lines up on the opposite side of Philly.
Well, that's what I'm saying is again, this is a six seed. It's the biggest underdog of the weekend in the first round of the playoffs. But you go again, go look at the front seven. Is there how many front sevens in this playoff bracket are better than the Eagles? You look at the combined amount of weapons they have on offense with Alshon and Aguilar and Ertz and Goddard and Sproles, and with how good the offensive line is playing and Nick Foles, and you're like, how many teams have a better cohesive unit on offense, and how many teams have a better play caller than Doug Peterson? This is one of the best six seeds you'll see. And for the Chicago Bears, again, like you said, their prize for getting the Eagles in the playoffs is having to play them, a team that did not sneak in, did not trip into the playoffs. They won five of their last six, and if the referees gave the Eagles the ball in that first kickoff against the Dallas Cowboys, they might have won 6 of 6. So, again, this is not your father's six seed. It's not the typical tripped into the playoffs, Tim Tebow-esque Denver Broncos type of playoff team. And that's
hey, they won a playoff game. Don't
I know. I
Tim Tebow.
Come on. The Steelers had Ike Taylor up on the line of scrimmage. I mean, they did not respect. But regardless, I mean, you saw what happened the next week against the Patriots. I mean, if Eagles get in, or if the Eagles get this win against Chicago, it's going to be a different story against the Saints than it was this regular season. You just look down the list. I mean, with the Bears, they're a really good team. I'm not trying to discredit the Bears by what we're going to get into here. They have a damn good play caller in Matt Nagy, part of the Andy Reid coaching tree that just continues to grow with great offensive minds. By the way, our boy Mike Kafka might be the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, man. That's wild.
What's up next? Kevin Cobb's going to get added to the coaching staff too?
Reid's just going to bring on all his old quarterbacks that flunked out.
It's going to be a trio of like Jeff Garcia, Kevin Cobb, and A.J. Feely.
Yeah, A.J. Feely will be like a specialist coordinator or something crazy like that.
The only one that's not allowed
that's
is the only one that's not allowed is Vince Young for obvious reasons.
Dream team, shout out.
but
throwback.
But anyway, I mean, when we're talking about this Eagles Bears matchup, the Bears have talent. I mean, their front seven just as good as the Eagles. Their secondary was incredible this year with turning the football over, giving Trubisky and that offense amazing field position. But go down the line. Bears fans on Twitter this week were going after me because I said I don't understand why the Eagles are significant underdogs. I understand that they're on the road and they're the lower seed, and typically, by nature, that's going to make you the underdog. But let's go down the units. Quarterback. I think the Eagles have the advantage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Weapons. I think the Eagles have the advantage. I think Allen Robinson's good. I think the Bears have better running backs with Cohen and Howard. But overall,
the run defenses are too good. Like,
right, that's what
I'm saying. I don't think there's somebody who rushes over 50 yards in this game. I just really don't.
And I like Anthony Miller's potential, and I've always been a big Allen Robinson fan, but they don't have the two tight ends we have or the trio of receivers. Mm-hmm. They have an overall pretty
they're all
pretty
hurt
solid
too.
Unit.
Every single one of
them. Anthony Miller was
hurt
against the Vikings. Robinson didn't even play. So I would give
Gabriel was hurt too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they were playing, what, Bellamy and Kevin White? Remember Mr. Seventh overall, Kevin White?
Runs like a fullback.
Yeah, I mean, weapons, I think the Eagles would have the advantage. Offensive line, the Bears have a underrated offensive line, but is there an O-line right now that's playing better than the Eagles?
No. I mean, Lane Johnson, the worst thing you could have did was leave him off the All-Pro ballot. That
Brandon
dude is
going
to...
Brandon Brooks, too, man.
His goal Sunday is going to be... Him and Brandon Brooks is going to shut down and not allow any sacks against that front because they want to prove the entire world wrong. Why do they keep doing it to these guys? Why do they keep giving them motivation? Like, you talk about all this locker room, I mean, the bulletin board material that, like, the Eagles say, like, Alshon Jeffrey said he only went to Chicago for work. Like, who cares about that stuff? Like, when you're voted and not voted into an all-pro, like, you take that seriously. that's the recognition you want to receive. And Lane Johnson, look, he didn't even make the Pro Bowl, and he slept in the locker room because he was so upset about it. Imagine in the best season that he's had, arguably, since he was a rookie, I mean, since his first year, like, this is probably the best year he's had. He's going to be upset. So is Brandon Brooks. Like, these guys are going to be mad. They're going to play with a chip on their shoulder. Why do they keep giving that motivation? I don't understand it.
For Brooks, it's like, how do you go 3 years?
One sack. He allowed one sack in the last 2 years.
Yeah, you go the in 2017 and 2018, you allow one sack and you're not voted on the All-Pro. Not first or second team. I mean, to me, that's
Martin was hurt,
robbery.
Too. Like, why did they vote? That's another discussion. We can talk about that later. But, like, these guys have all the motivation.
Yeah, and Brooks, to me, has been better than Zach Martin. There hasn't been a better 100%. Right guard in football. Maybe there hasn't been a better interior. He's one of the best interior offensive linemen in football, just plain and simple. Offensive line, I'd probably give the advantage to the Birds right now. Front seven, it might be – to me, it's a wash.
Yeah,
I don't know how you choose between these two. The Bears had more sacks at 50. The Eagles had 44. So pretty even there. I think the Eagles linebackers might have the advantage here. Secondary, I'll give the Bears that one. And then coaching, to me – It's pretty close. I mean, I really like Matt Nagy. I think he might win Coach of the Year, and rightfully so, with the job he did on Mitch Trubisky. But Doug Peterson, proven Super Bowl winning head coach. It's just, you know, you go down the list, and again, it's not me saying the Bears don't have weapons or they don't have a really good offensive line, because they're one of the better offensive lines in football. Their front seven is – they have probably, if not the best edge rusher, he's top two in Khalil Mack. It's not to discredit the Bears. It's just to say this is a point of, again, like, this is not a typical wild card team. And for the Bears, a team that, yeah, they're the higher seed and they're at home, but they really have only had – they have not played a lot of teams like the Eagles. The Rams win, I'll give it to them. That was really impressive. But outside of that, their best wins were against a Vikings team that, like you said early on in the show, has severely underperformed. So it's – they're kind of like the 2017 Eagles, only the 2017 Eagles rolled through everybody. So, again, the Bears are a damn good football team, and if they win this game, I'm not going to be surprised. But let's just – I mean, the Eagles should not be – this should be a tight ball game where it's a one-possession game, and I do not think the Eagles should be significant underdogs like they were last year. This is just – this is a team that has proven time and time again, and what they did down the stretch of this 2018 season – that counting them out, again, to me, is just irresponsible.
100% agree. And I like to look at Football Outsiders, the DVOA rankings right now. And Chicago's defense, they're first in every single category besides rushing, where they're second. But one of the things is they're the only team in the top 10 for DVOA to have a negative DVOA ranking on the offensive side of the ball.
Huh.
So the thing is, both of these defenses are elite at this current point in time. Like, Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, like, those guys are just wreaking havoc. They're linebackers with Leonard Floyd. The list goes on and on for who they have. We all know who the Eagles have. They're going to stop the run. I think this comes down to whoever's offense is going to be able to pass the best. And who do you trust? Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky?
Right, and look, we're going to get into that in the next segment. Perfect segue. It's Mitch Trubisky, he could turn into the Foles of the playoffs last year, right? Someone that I doubt, and someone coming in that you're not expecting to just totally blow up, but then someone that could go on a run with this Bears team. It would not be surprising with how they have built the offense around him, with the offensive coach and Matt Nagy that he has. It wouldn't be surprising if Mitch Trubisky caught fire in the playoffs. I mean, he's got a lot of talent. He threw 24 touchdowns. There's a reason he was a third overall pick. I mean, he's the worst of the three first-round picks in 2017 between him, Watson, and Mahomes, but he's got talent. It's just that he might be the biggest liability for the Bears, and that's what we're going to get into next coming up on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. Me and Gino, we're going to get into it. We talked about advantages for the Eagles and Bears going through the roster, but the one that, like you said, might matter the most, might be the only really thing that matters because everything else might be a wash, is the quarterback battle. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. One day away from the Eagles wild card battle with the Chicago Bears. I am Louis DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri. So on the first segment, we got into why you should not be discrediting this Eagles team again, why it's a mistake to be putting them as such severe underdogs. Honestly, I'm going to pick the Birds. Lars picked the Birds on Wednesday. Gino, I don't know about you. I just think that this team should not be counted out, and the main reason is quarterback. So front seven, I think it's pretty close. Weapons, both teams have really good weapons. Both have a great offensive coach, a great play caller in Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy. Both have good offensive lines. The difference to me is that in a playoff game where the pressure is on, if this is a close game, who do you expect to come through, Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky? And I'm sorry, until I see it with Trubisky, I saw it with Foles in the playoffs last year. I saw him get the lead in 2013. I saw him against Houston just a couple weeks ago drive down the field and get Jake Elliott in range to kick that game-winning field goal. I saw him against the Rams in a must-win game on the road against one of the best teams in football put up a pretty good performance, winning three straight, helping the Eagles get into the playoffs. I just trust Foles more, and I think it's going to be the real advantage that matters.
Yeah, we're sitting here arguing if we would trust Wentz or Foles more in a playoff game, but frankly, I'd take both of them over Mitch Trubisky at this point. Oh, yeah, there's no comparison between these guys. Trubisky, he's very athletic. He can get outside the pocket. We've seen this Eagles team struggle with guys that could get outside the pocket, but if you can contain him and make him beat you with his arm, that's where the troubles are going to come for Trubisky and this offense. He doesn't have the best mechanics. He can leave his hips open, which can we've seen with Carson Wentz, can make balls float on him and create easy interceptions. And the thing that it's going to come down to in this game is who can pass better and who could create the turnovers. So if Foles can hold on to this ball, keep the offense rolling and not really turn it over, I think the Eagles are going to get to Mitch Trubisky. It's only a matter of time, and I think there's got to be a big interception, much like that Minnesota game we saw last postseason. Something like that is going to happen. I just have a feeling that there's going to either be a pick six or a big, maybe a fumble return or a big interception, because both of these two teams, when they succeed, their defenses flock to the football. And you've seen that the last 3 weeks with the Eagles, and you saw that previously why they struggled. The middle of the season, they weren't really creating turnovers, and they had to win on offense. But with the Bears all season, it is 100% the defenses, how they produced all season to why they had this success. They create turnovers. They're leading the league in turnovers. They're up there in turnover differential. Their DVOA for defense is off the charts. It's the defense that you have to worry about for Chicago. I'm not overly worried about Mitch Trubisky, but I'm overly worried about how Matt Nagy will plan for Mitch Trubisky, because he knows how to create a very good game plan for him, and that's why he's had success this season. And these two teams, stylistically, on offense, are a lot of like, because Doug Peterson and Nagy are from the same coaching tree. So you're going to see a lot of the same concepts. You're going to see a lot of the same play calls, and it's just who can execute better and who won't turn the ball over.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a very similar game plan where both offenses, you saw it with Foles. I mean, let's not lie. I think the offense has been a lot simpler with Foles. I think they really put an emphasis on the run game. The offensive line has had to pick up the slack. I think Doug Peterson's play calling has been better. They try to make it easier for these quarterbacks. I think you're going to see a very similar game plan for the Bears with Trubisky. How they handle him is going to be very similar to what the Eagles did with Foles against Atlanta last year, where they're going to kind of make him the point guard, a lot of RPOs, a lot of play action. I think Trubisky's honestly better when he's on the run, when he's not relying on his just plain mechanics, his footwork, his hip movement, when it comes to throwing the football. They're going to try to get Howard the ball in space, and especially Tariq Cohen, take some shots to Allen Robinson here and there, because Trubisky's got an arm. I think it's going to be very similar to what the Eagles did with Foles against Atlanta. Protect the football, rely on the running backs in the run game, in the pass game, take some shots, and rely on the defense to win you football games, because I'm sorry, but Bears fans coming after me on Twitter this week, you can't use QB wins this year to talk about Trubisky. It's a stat that can be totally irresponsibly used when trying to defend a quarterback. I mean, let's be honest with Trubisky. Again, I like him. I think he's got a lot of talent. I thought he took a big step up with Nagy this year. I think he could grow. He's not a Carson Wentz yet in his second year. He did not take that type of step up yet, but he wasn't the reason they were losing football games. But let's be real. Against the Rams, which is the significant win Chicago had this year, they had a pretty easy schedule. The big win was against the Rams. Trubisky had a 53% completion percentage. He only threw one touchdown and 110 yards, and he had three interceptions. Even against the Vikings last week, which, thank you, Bears, I'm not going to complain about how you got the win, but let's be real with Trubisky. He had 163 yards, no touchdowns, and no picks. He's had seven games this year of one passing touchdown or zero. Wentz on a fractured back this year only had three. In our boy Liam Jenkins of the Philly Sports Network, he put up something interesting, an interesting stat this year. When Trubisky faced playoff defenses this year in 2018, he's combined for 5 touchdowns and 7 picks, completing 59.6% of his passes. So yikes. This is the liability for the Bears, is their young, hopefully budding star for them at quarterback. He might be the biggest problem because, again, when we go down the line, these entire rosters, they are loaded with talent. But it might come down to Foles versus Trubisky, and for a lot of the reasons I just said, I'm going with Foles.
I agree, 100%. I think both the pass rushes are going to get there, and both of these teams are going to have to get the ball out quickly. The part where I worry, I don't really worry about Allen Robinson with Rasul Douglas. I think that's a good matchup there. I think the speed on the outside with Miller or Gabriel is good with Avante Maddox. I think they both match up stylistically very well. But who in the hell is going to cover Tariq Cohen, man?
Do you think Malcolm Jenkins is going to shadow him like he did James White in the Super Bowl?
I could see that, but we saw how much success he had in the Super Bowl, so I don't know. Maybe you try Kravon for a little bit, but I'm not really sure. That's the guy you have to worry about because we've seen this Eagles team when guys get into space. The open field tackling has struggled for the most part throughout the year. You've seen it. Ezekiel Elliott basically on a flat route against the Cowboys that first matchup just waltzed into the end zone. They have a hard time covering both out of the backfield and both shifty receivers in the slot. So it's going to be intriguing to see what happens. But I think Nagy, he's going to game plan well. He's going to work in his shots, much like the Eagles are going to do with Nick Foles. But I think it's going to come down to who's receivers are going to get open quicker because I trust Alshon Jeffrey in 50-50 situations more than I trust like an Allen Robinson. I trust a Nelson Aguilar to get downfield more than I trust right now Anthony Miller, who's younger. And I trust the two tight ends because Chicago has seen the least amount of 12 personnel. So if this team, the Eagles, who excels in 12 personnel, goes out there and can get Dallas Goedert a good matchup because they're going to put Eddie Jackson on Zach Ertz. That's just – you have to.
It's a given,
because
yeah.
You have to do it. I think Dallas Goedert is something they have to look to expose for a team that hasn't seen much personnel on 12 personnel. It'll be interesting to see how they adjust to that and interesting to see how this Eagles team can adjust to probably not establishing a run game. Maybe you look at what the Houston game where they made Foles throw it almost 40 times as a game plan that they could go off of this week. Or maybe, let's see. What other games were they? Did they take away the run game? You're going to have to. You're not going to get the run game going. It's as simple as that.
When you look at the Rams game, even it wasn't like the Eagles were dominating on the ground. They were getting some impact runs here and there from Wendell Smallwood and Darren Sproles. I think that's the key for the Eagles is they're not going to be able to dominate the run game. Neither team is going to be able to. But it's more so again when we mentioned Tariq Cohen. We got to talk about Darren Sproles as well on the Eagles side of the football. We're going to get into a key matchup next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, but that's a key one too, is even if the Eagles don't get the run game going, the time of possession battle is going to be crucial. And the way they can do that without having success in the run game is 12 personnel. To me, keeping the ball moving, keeping the chains going with these two tight ends, getting the ball to Darren Sproles in space. I want to get into Sproles next. We got some key matchups coming up right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri diving into this Eagles-Bears wild card matchup. So when we hit the break, we were talking about the run game. I mentioned Darren Sproles. And Gino, for me, I think one of the most interesting matchups here in this game are the shifters against these defenses. And the shifters, I'm talking about Tariq Cohen, and I'm talking about Darren Sproles. Because we mentioned the run game and how I think both teams are going to struggle to fully establish the run. I think there's going to be a lot of passing, even though it's going to be a cold weather game, to try to still control the time of possession. You saw it against Washington last week, where they weren't really dominating on the ground. They still were doing a lot of quick passes to their running backs in space. I am very excited with how the Eagles have used Darren Sproles the past 5 weeks. He only has 35 touches, which I think is perfect. I think they sometimes have over-relied on Sproles. I think they've almost simplified the offense too much with him. I think they're way too comfortable getting him the ball on the check down, missing some other plays because they just want the ball in his hands, which I totally understand. He's one of the most explosive players in NFL history. But I love the way they've been more so using him as a designed passer and they've been getting him in quicker, you know, I love the run concepts they've been getting him, and they're not running him five times in a row, right? They're getting him just a couple nice flash plays on the ground, and they have designed set routes for him to get him in space down the field, these wheel routes against Houston and against Washington. I love the way they're using Sproles, and I think Cohen on the other side is going to be very similarly used against the Eagles' defense. That matchup on both sides with Cohen and Sproles is going to be crucial for them, especially in the passing game, because I don't think the run game is going to have a whole lot of success for either side.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think the quick pass game is really where this team is going to have to make their money this game, and I think Darren Sproles and maybe Golden Tate can be essential in this matchup. I mean, it'd be great to see him actually do something, but I'm looking at Pro Football Focus, mind you's coverage statistics on Chicago right now, and their linebackers, they're just middle of the road in coverage. Danny Trevathan, he graded out at 66.7, Roquan Smith at a 47.8, and those two guys you're going to see on Darren Sproles a lot, and he is one of the best running backs out of the backfield to use leverage on such things as option routes. They're going to use that wheel route that they've tried to get to him all year. You've seen Carson Wentz miss a couple throws to him and a couple other receivers. Foles is connected on those wheel routes. I think those are going to be essential. Those option routes are going to be essential, and on the other side of the ball, like you said, Tariq Cohen is going to be somebody who this Eagles team is going to have to find a way to cover. And Jordan Hicks, he's been the best coverage linebacker we've seen all year for the Eagles. If he is healthy, that is going to be essential for them to capture this victory, because one way or another, Tariq Cohen is going to get the football. And it's going to come down how well you could keep him contained and keep him out of space and how well you can tackle him in the open field. So to get Jordan Hicks back is massive. But for the Eagles, Darren Sproles, I think he is going to be in for a big day. I think they line him up in the slot. I think if you could put him and Golden Tate on the same side of the football for a couple snaps, make them run some banjo routes make them trade off Danny Trevathan to Golden Tate maybe. You could get Bryce Callahan off of Golden Tate somehow. I think it could be very favorable for the Eagles in that regard. They have a ton of weapons. It's just, can they game plan these weapons to the not the strengths, but the weaknesses of this Chicago defense, which I think Doug Peterson, the way he's been calling plays, I think he can this week.
I was going to say, I think he's done a great job of it. And Sproles just one representation of how well they've utilized their personnel on offense really the past, I would say, 5-6 weeks. Because let's remember, too, even with Sproles, getting him more involved in the offense, the new look of how they've been using him really started in that first Washington game. Right, mm-hmm. Where he ran that one touchdown on the outside. They used him in the passing game. Even the next week, it's mostly been Foles connecting with Sproles, but Carson Wentz, Sproles, I think, lined up in the slot on that passing touchdown he had in the red zone that Wentz hit him on. He converted a 4th-and-2. Wentz hit Sproles on a wheel route down the right sideline. So they've really been trying to utilize Sproles in this way against these linebackers, getting him in space since that run started, that Monday Night Football game against Washington, where you see in the past with Sproles, teams have used him creatively. I think the Saints did a great job of it. I think the Eagles at times have done a good job. But sometimes all they really do with him is just have him out there, have him as a check down, know he can do things on his own, where really the past month and a half, it's been much more designed and much more fluid with Sproles in the offense. And I love the way they've been doing it. It's just so interesting how similar these teams are. Like, both have a Darren Sproles and a Cohen. Allen Robinson and Alshon Jeffrey are kind of similar style receivers. You got those run after the catch type guys with Anthony Miller, Nelson Agholor, Golden Tate, the offensive lines. I cannot wait for this matchup. It's going to be a battle toe to toe. It's kind of like the Houston game where me and you even said it. It could go one or two ways, and I would not be surprised if this is a 17-13 ball game or a 35-30 game. That's just the way it could go.
Yeah, that's what most people have been saying. It's either going to be Chicago just comes out and they beat us by maybe 3 touchdowns because we can't move the football, or it's going to be a battle like we saw in that Houston game. I don't think as many points are going to be scored just because I think Chicago's front four is better and their secondary is better, but it may come down to the last drive. Who knows? It's going to be a low-scoring game. I think an under of 41 is just about spot on. I don't see any team scoring more than 24 points, maybe. I really can't see it either way, especially with the Eagles, who's run the red zone defense graded out at the best red zone defense out of any team this season. So if Chicago can't execute in the red zone, I really don't think a lot of points are going to be put up in this game.
I'm so excited. I can't believe we're in the playoffs. I mean, honestly,
I know, man.
It's
a good feeling. But just remember, one thing we haven't talked about is playoff experience. This Eagles team, they have it. They had three games last year. All their guys, Michael Bennett, Corey Graham, they've won Super Bowls elsewhere. Haloti Ngata currently has the most playoff games played for any defensive lineman within the playoffs. So that you can't take that away from this Philadelphia Eagles team, is that experience that they have. When there's 10 minutes left in the game and it's a one-score game and this team has to come up with something, they have to come up with a turnover, they have to come up with a score, who do you trust more? A young, inexperienced Chicago team that has limited amounts of players that have playoff experience, or an Eagles team that is just coming off a Super Bowl victory, just coming off a great three-stretch run, and has experience all across the board in how to succeed in the playoffs?
Yeah, and it's the type of success, it's the type of experience that they got, right? So, I mean, you look at the Falcons game, a goal line stand to hold on and win that game. Against the Vikings, it was a blowout. Against the Patriots, it was how do we win a shootout battle against the best dynasty in the NFL. The type of experience they got in the playoffs, again, like goal line stands, shootouts, blowouts, it was a combination of so many different things that really they're prepared for anything in this game, and they're just battle tested. I mean, look what they did the past 6 weeks. I mean, that shows what this team can do when their backs are against the wall. It's just, again, why, I mean, when is the league and analysts and the media going to learn to stop doubting this Eagles team? They might win again. To me, honestly, I'm going to pick the Birds, and it's going to, again, not really shock me, but it's just like, when are they going to learn? I mean, the underdogs, now it's the ski masks. You just keep putting this Birds team in a corner, and they love it.
Yeah, and I think that 6.5 number is just fit for a trap game. I really do. I think people are overemphasizing Chicago right now. They're still doubting Philly, and I think a lot of sharp money comes in around on the Eagles around 3 o'clock tomorrow, because I think the people that know football and that are smart about football understand that this team is too experienced and too good late in the season to come out and just lay an egg.
That's
like, it's going to be close one way or another.
If you really know the situation of this matchup, you would not think the Eagles are severe underdogs. You would say this is going to be a one-score ball game that could go either way.
I agree 100%, and we pointed out all the points. It's going to be low scoring. I don't think there's much potential for a blowout, especially with both of these front fours.
Yeah.
And you have an Eagles team that can never be counted out. Like, how many times have we counted them out this year, dude? You think about Tennessee, you think about Carolina, you think about Dallas both times. This team has been counted out time and time again. Even until the last week, nobody gave them a chance. And they're here. They got their chip in a chair. They know what it takes to be Super Bowl champions. And I think Brandon Graham said it best. He knew what it felt like last year, and he wants that exact feeling this year. This Eagles team knows what it takes to get to the top, and they are going to do everything that it can take to get to the top, because who knows who's going to be back? Is Brandon Graham going to be back? Do they let Michael Bennett walk? Is Ronald Darby going to be there next year? This team could be completely different. So for this team to go out and lay an egg, I think it's near impossible. But for this team to come out and upset the Chicago Bears, I think that's all the more likely, and I think that's what's going to happen.
It's why I kept using the playoff machine. I just did not think this team was over or this team was done until they were mathematically eliminated from the postseason. And this happened, and it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. But apparently it surprises other media outlets and fans out there, because the Birds are underdogs once again, ladies and gentlemen. But that's the way we like it. Eagles, Bears, tomorrow, Soldier Field. What's the kickoff? 4:40, Gino?
Yes, sir.
4:40. What do we got? Chris Collinsworth and Al?
I think we do.
We got our Super Bowl crew once again.
If history repeats itself,
it's better than
we should.
Troy Aikman and Joe Buck.
I know, but if history repeats itself, we had last year's playoff game, the first playoff game called by those two. So let's hope we come out on top once again.
Let me get a prediction for you before we wrap up.
I said on the crossover with Lauren Cox of Lockdown Bears, I think it's going to be 24-13 Eagles. I think a turnover is going to be essential in this game. I think the Eagles end up with good field position at least twice in this game, and I think they capitalize on it. I think they kick a field goal late to put the game out of reach, and I think they're going to walk out on top and go into New Orleans next week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's a good way to wrap up the show right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. To keep the conversation going, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and Gino Cavallari at Gino _ LOE. Check on LockedOnEagles.com. Got some written content coming up before the game tomorrow. We'll have another little pregame pod tomorrow with me and Gino to get you ready for the Birds and the Bears in the playoffs. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Eagles. Let's get on to that second round, baby.
Fly, Eagles, fly.